Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Gilligan's Island. There were two men shipwrecked on this island. The minute they got into the island, one of them started screaming and yelling, "We're gonna die, we're gonna die. There's no food, no water, we're gonna die." The second man was propped up against a palm tree and acting so calmly, it drove the first man crazy. "Don't you understand? We're gonna die." The second man replied, "You don't understand. I'm making $100,000 a week. We'll get found soon." The first man looked at him quite dumbfounded and asked, "What difference does that make? We're on an island with no food, no water, we're gonna die." The second man answered, "You don't get it, do you? I make $100,000 a week and I tithe 10% of the $100,000 each week to my church. I give $10,000 each week to my church." The first man, still dumbfounded, said, "I still don't understand." The second man said, "Listen, I tithe $10,000 a week to my church. Believe me, my pastor will find me." Now let me read you some lyrics to a song. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. Minnow would be lost. This is going better than I thought, so. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor, and Marianne here on Gilligan's Isle. So this is the tale of the castaways. They're here for a long, long time. They have to make the best of things. It's an uphill climb. The first mate and the skipper too will do their very best to make the others comfortable in the tropic island nest. No phone, no lights, no motor cars, not a single luxury like Robinson Crusoe, as primitive as can be. So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle. Let's start with Gilligan. Turn to Proverbs chapter 9. You're like, if he finds Gilligan in the Bible, I'll start tithing. Gilligan, described as a bumbling, dim-witted, accident-prone crewman of the SS Minnow. Not very smart. That was his character. Let's start with Proverbs 9, verse 1, and just jump in here. "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." And it's not just someone crying out. There is a meal prepared. She has done everything she needs to do. Wisdom being described here, the word for wisdom, I think, is Sophia, and literally described as this woman who would draw you in. Now, if you keep reading in Proverbs, if you go back to 6, 7, 8, and 9 in particular, there's another woman on the streets calling some guys in. So the parallel this thing is very interesting. But she says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding," she says to him, "come and eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." So there literally is, as it were, a woman, and I think it's the Spirit of God in our case now, that says, look, just ask for wisdom. And the New Testament talks about, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. God will give you that wisdom. Don't be wishy-washy about it. Go to him and say, look, I need your help. I need to know how to live. And most, well, not most, but a lot of people are just simple people. And they need some direction. They need some help. Go to Proverbs 14. And we'll go kind of to the right here. Maybe jump over and come back. Proverbs 14, verse 15. "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." So you tell a simple person something, okay, well, that's true. The prudent person says, wait a minute, think about this. Go to Proverbs 19, verse 25. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. Go to Proverbs 22:3, a few pages to the right. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So some characteristics here of a simple person, they just don't get it. Just not thinking, not aware, terrible things happen. How could you let that happen to you? That verse alone, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. He says he's aware, there's some wisdom, there's some discernment, some common sense even. He goes, you know what, something's wrong here, I gotta get out. Where the simple person just pass on and bam, the consequences fall on him. Go over to Psalm 19:7. And here is a pretty simple way to protect yourself if you're in the Gilligan category. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So anybody, we got classes around here cranking up to help you take your Bible and simply just see what it says and how do you read it? How do you make it make sense? Get in the scriptures. If you're getting yourself into a lot of trouble that you could simply avoid, then say, God, help me not be just this, to use the definition again, bumbling, dim-witted, accident-prone crewman of this ship, that I see what's going on and I do something about it. Now, most people say, I ain't Gilligan. I don't know who you're talking to. There are probably some simple people here, but I'm not one of those. Well, let's jump to another extreme and take care of you. Let's go to Thurston Howell III and Lovey, his wife. Turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, and we'll jump in verse 1. Now, let me try to explain to you why I'm going with Gilligan's Island. The thing about this island is you got simple guy like Gilligan, the skipper. We'll get to all these other characters. But even on this island, the millionaire thinks he's better than everybody else. If anybody ever seen this show, raise your hand. I'm completely lost here. Okay, good. So we might have some 12-year-olds don't know what I'm talking about, but you can go watch it. You can download it on your device. If you watch Lovey and Thurston Howell III, they had a nicer shack. Because they thought, well, we're going to be here, but we're going to be here differently. And so these roles get played out in how they are on this island with these other people, but they're even a little better. Let me just read. And there's a bunch of places you could go with this, some in Ecclesiastes, but I like this Psalm 49 passage. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the heart. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? And then look at this. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. You cannot write a check and save your own soul or anybody else's soul. Okay? So none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls is costly. How costly is the redemption of your soul? It's what got Jesus killed on a cross. That's the only thing that will redeem your soul. That is the price that had to be paid. So even the gospel mentioned here, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought, and this is not, by the way, all rich people. I'm not throwing all rich people under the bus, but here's how it can go. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generations, they call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself, for men will praise you when you do well for yourself. You ever notice that? Wow, you've done really well for yourself. It's right out of the Bible. That's not what it's about. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. So you think, well, I got all this stuff. Don't, hold it very loosely at best. And you know what? If you got stuff, I'm not knocking that. I enjoy your stuff sometimes. Most people listening to me, even beyond this room today, have got it in way, way abundance in global terms. And most of the people in the world would look at us that way. Not the mega rich, they'd look at us that way. Keep reading with me. Let's go to Ginger Grant, the movie star. If you go back and read a little bit about this actress, Tina Louise was her name, I think. She hated this show, wouldn't even do the sequels because it ruined her career, because she was kind of this Marilyn Monroe, sultry, whatever actress, and they couldn't cast her anything else. So it destroyed her career playing this part. Read Proverbs 31:30 with me. This is my ginger verse. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful. This word charm is not a bad thing. When it's used wrongly, it can be bad. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You can take the hottest chick you have ever seen in your life and give her about 60 years and she will cool off. So don't be getting caught up in all that. And time and gravity come after all women. I will just leave it at that. There is a lot of pressure in the world on women to look a certain way, to weigh a certain amount, to just keep up. You open any magazine, these women's magazines, it's all about sex, it's all about being hot, it's all about, how you look. This verse, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. A woman who fears the Lord, now you got something. You say, well, but, my wife's beautiful, mine is, my daughter's, whatever you want to say, you better be emphasizing something beyond that, because if that's what they're using to snag whoever they're snagging, when it ain't snagging anymore, and that person says, I'm looking for another snag, they get dumped because they couldn't maintain that. There's only so much plastic surgery you can get done to keep up. Before your belly button's on your forehead somewhere, they can only move it so much. Well, I can't blame that one on the Holy Spirit. I'll have to take total responsibility for that one. But see, Ginger, man, and there were actually surveys I found that they were trying to decide whether men liked Marianne or Ginger Moore. Anyhow, I think actually Marianne actually won because she was more down to earth. So anyhow, I know that's great information for all of you. If you got daughters, encourage who they are more than what they look like. Speak to their character, speak to their insides, tell them what great girls they are. So enough on Ginger probably. The professor, let me do the professor really quick. Go to Psalm 14:1. And please don't leave saying, you're throwing people under the bus with all these verses. That's not my intent. I'm just giving you some categories. Obviously, he's called the professor. I don't even think, does anybody actually know? I know his name on the show. Does anybody know his name? His name was Roy Hinckley. That was his character's name, but nobody knew that. He was the professor. So he's smart. He knows electronics. And if anybody get him off the island, he could have, but he's not smart enough for that because he wanted the season to be renewed. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. You know what? You don't have to be so smart to go to hell. If that's how smart you are, if you've gotten smart enough to get yourself into hell, you ain't very smart. And see what people, they listen, they read, you say, should we not read? Read it, but read the scriptures. If you don't have any offset, then what the world pours on you and questions, it's why it's terrifying to send a lot of kids off to college, for instance. Because what happens to kids when they go to college, they get dropped in some classroom, even at Christian schools, where a teacher believes nothing, and then the question starts hitting them. Somebody says, what do you believe? And they say what they believe, and then the teacher asks one question and explodes them. Why? Why do you believe that? Well, my mom and dad told me it was true. That ain't gonna get you anywhere. You have to know why you believe what you believe, or you will be disemboweled. Because the culture will look at you and say, you say we're fools for not believing in God. You're the fool because you believe it and you don't know why you believe it. So if you're going to stand up for something, then be prepared to take a stand. But if you're going to take a stand, you have to stand on some truth. The great thing about the truth is it defends itself. You don't have to make stuff up. So know the scriptures, get into the scriptures. And that doesn't mean you can't be an apologist, talk intelligently and go at people in discussions and arguments, but you have to back it up with scripture because otherwise it's just your opinion. And the world is filled with intelligent people who have said there is no God. They are fools, but they don't think they're fools. They think you're a fool. And even the Bible says about itself that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the power of God and salvation. So don't back off the gospel, but be prepared to have pushback. I'm going to skip Mary Ann. Let's do the skipper. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Old Testament. And there are a bunch of different places you can pull this. But Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 and following. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for there is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. And this, you know, honestly, some of this stuff is like, are you kidding me? This is like depressing. Can you like leave the words like vanity out? What Solomon is trying to communicate here is that, you know what? Life is what it is. It isn't going to be all that all the time. You know, sometimes I get up here and I share some personal stuff and people go, wow, he's losing, he's falling apart. You know what? No, I'm just breathing. And you may find you some church where they all get up all the time, go, God is good all the time. You know what? God is good all the time, but it ain't always good all the time. And you got real stuff, we got real issues. And part of life, even if you do it right, is just staying in your lane, hoeing your row, doing the deal. And is that always exciting? No, it's not always exciting. Are there challenges? Sure, there are challenges. Can you do it God's way? Yes. But don't be thinking you're going to be like, you know, inhaling helium all day long and on some high all the time. It's not realistic. So he addresses these things. Live joyfully with a wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Now, here's why I pull these verses here on the skipper. The guy's just he's a businessman. He's got him a boat. He's taking people out on it. It's got to get old. You know, they're shipwrecked in this story. He's just doing the deal. You say, well, I go to work every day. I mow lawns. I'm a plumber. I'm a stockbroker. Whatever you are. You know what? It all gets old. You clean buildings, maybe. Whatever you do. You go to some office. They don't care you're there. You're going to lay people off. You might be one that nobody's loyal to anybody hardly anymore. And so you make a little money. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It still doesn't fix that thing inside a person. Where you just go through the motions. But can you have joy in that? Absolutely. Can you have peace? It's an amazing thing to find peace finally. That's worth a ton. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. You say, well, the fast people always win. No, they don't. Sometimes the fast people quit. And the turtle wins, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And you say, well, but you're talking about chance here. What about the sovereignty of God? I think, obviously, there's the sovereignty of God, that God knows what's going on and he is in control. But God allows things to happen to us clearly. Is it by chance? I don't think totally by chance he's in control, but you go, well, why did that happen to them and not to me? One of my big questions is, why have I not been clobbered yet? Did you ever walk around feeling that way? Is he just like waiting to get a really good swing or something? How many of you know you are a piece of work? Raise your hand. You better get your hands up. Everybody in the room. Thank you very much. I'm not going to check hands, but I can give you scripture that you are a piece of work. And if you don't believe those, just take my word for it. I know most of you. Nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. You think, well, this is the most depressing thing I've ever heard. Not yet. Maybe a few more minutes. You can be smart, beautiful, rich, simple, hardworking businessman or woman. What did all these people on this island have in common? They're all lost. They're all shipwrecked. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Let's do Romans chapter 3 maybe. And this is quoting, I think, out of Psalm 14 over in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 and following. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, as it is written. And this is where he quotes the Old Testament Psalms. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Just jump down to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now let me tell you how this can be very disconcerting. Let's say you take the worst person you can come up with, a Jeffrey Dahmer type of guy. He's in prison. He's on this island with us and he's lost. That is, you think, easier to get that guy lost. Let's take someone, and we'll use Marianne. Seemed like a sweet girl. Didn't get any trouble on the island, taking care of people, being nice. Let's take the nicest person you know in your life. Is everybody thinking of somebody? And they're not necessarily a Christian. They're moral, they're ethical, they're kind, they take care of their grandparents, their parents. They do everything right. Does anybody have anybody in mind? They're a Christian, but you know they're just really, really, really good people, but they're not a Christian. Raise your hand if you know somebody like that. Now, let me tell you what you think is so hard. You look at that person, you say, they don't need Jesus. They are not lost, right? How am I going to take a really, really, really nice person and get them lost? Here's where you miscalculate this. They are on the same island. They are castaways like everybody else, and this is why. If you sit down with someone and they're really, really, really honest, unless their conscience is just seared and their heart is cold, which means everything is not as good as you thought, the devastating thing about getting to that place in your life is everything is perfect. It is almost completely pure. You've done it by the rules. And if even then you have an emptiness in your heart, you're in big trouble. What if you've played by the rules your whole life? You've done everything right. You've been kind. You've given money to charity. You've done everything you're supposed to do. And you wake up and you go to sleep with this God-sized hole in your soul. That's trouble. Because as it turns out, the all here means all. It is everybody. So don't shy away. You say, well, that's a really nice person. How am I going to share the gospel? Speak to the emptiness, because ultimately we all have that emptiness. There is no one but God that can fill that. Now, you got to be gentle about how you do that, but you just say things like, you know, have you ever felt this way? Now, if they say no, you can't push it. Because how is someone who's got everything going on going to admit it's not working? And believe it or not, we all have the same thing in common, no matter where you're from, what you do, what you got, what you don't have. There is a hole, there is an emptiness, and the only thing, the only person going to fill it is Jesus.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.